My guest at this time is Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. He represents the Grand Canyon State's 4th Congressional District, and he joins me now to discuss the majority of House Republicans voting to approve a $1.3 trillion omnibus spending bill to avert a government shutdown. The final vote was 256 to 167, with 145 Republicans voting for the measure and 90 voting against it. Congressman Gosar was one of those opposed to it. And, sir, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks for having us on, Greg.
Well, there's two different issues we need to get here. First is the process, and secondly is the price tag. Let's start with the process. When was this bill delivered to members like you for review?
Late yesterday. So we had less than 12 hours to review this bill of over 2,000 pages. That is not possible. The last time I remember is maybe, you know, the American people of whom we represent should be able to see this as well before we vote on it. And it's a sad deal that we didn't have the time to actually put into it to actually find out what was in the bill.
Did you try to dig into it, or did you see the price tag and say no way?
I sped read through about 400 of the pages, and what we saw was not good. And that's why we were principled no against the vote.
Get a little more specific. What was in there that was unacceptable to you?
First of all, the price tag, $1.3 trillion, that's just unfathomable. I was elected in 2010 to get our budget under order and starting to make sense of this budgetary process. This was bad process, bad policy, and bad politics. You know, when you start looking at within this bill, we actually did a takings of over $1 billion of private property. We actually armed the endowment of the arts, and we disarmed the Second Amendment. We spent way too much money in this application, and what we should have been doing is having plenty more reforms, and we didn't see that.
Detail what you meant about the Second Amendment. How does this hurt the Second Amendment?
Well, this included fixnicks, and this is exactly what we talked about with leadership prior to. We had an arrangement and a promise by the speaker that said that if the fixnicks bill was actually brought forward, it would have conceal and carry. And, of course, conceal and carry was dropped from the bill. And so very problematic for the speaker in regards to a promise offered and a promise not kept.
What do you make of something like this, not only being handed to you with 12 hours to review 2,000 pages plus, but the fact that you had no input going into it? In other words, this was the two leaders from each chamber getting together, so four all together, and deciding what this is going to look like.
You know, big projects like the tunnel in New York, you know, how did that go through regular order? And then we had a member from New York that actually held up, you know, the withdrawal of the wolves from the delisting aspect. Here's a person who has no understanding whatsoever about a successful program and yet gets her way in the process. Something's wrong, Greg, when you see this occurring. You know, private property rights being taken away. $1 billion mine was actually offered up by Dianne Feinstein and passed in this bill from CMEX. They had invested over $40 million. And with a wisp of a pen, without going through regular order, it actually gets passed in this bill.
We're talking with Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar. And, sir, you mentioned that you ran as a Tea Party candidate a number of cycles ago. And one of the big issues, of course, was that the Obama administration was spending recklessly. They had just ran through the health care bill as well. And so a lot of folks voted for Republicans then and since then in anticipation of greater fiscal discipline. Have they gotten it?
They haven't. You've got people here that are trying to make a difference. But the problem is that what we see with this is the leadership on the Republican side and the Democratic side are the same. And that's where we have to have a change. We don't see, you know, at least in the House, what we did is we saw a budget last year and 12 appropriation bills passed where you can actually tell where the dollars and cents are going and demand that they be spent that way. The problem for us is that we have a Senate that does nothing, that didn't pass any of the appropriation bills. And what they actually do is hide behind the filibuster rule or the cloture vote of 60 votes, which doesn't exist in the Constitution.
And as far as I know, no votes were even held on those bills. So what advice do you have for the Senate?
My advice is have this discussion, start putting people to work, making sure that all the minority is put to work on the confirmation process. You don't start strategy at the last moment when you're crying wolf. What you do is you start policy, a strategy immediately upon taking the realms and leadership positions. It's time to get to work.
You mentioned that you see the Republican leaders as not all that dissimilar from the Democratic leaders. That's certainly not how Paul Ryan positions himself. So what happens when he gets behind closed doors?
Well, here's the deal. Folks can actually take this, you know, take a look at this product. You know, words are cheap, actions speak. And so when you start looking at somebody, you know, talking like a conservative, but when they act like a liberal, you know what? Is it really what they talk about, or is it the actions that they display? I think it's the latter.
Sir, where do we go from here? We've seen a number of continuing resolutions that pretty much kept things at Obama-era levels of spending. Then we got the two-year budget deal that takes out reconciliation and raised spending. A lot of Republicans like that because it lifted this spending cap specifically on military spending. Now we've got even more spending here. So where do we go from here?
Well, we had a moment of time that we missed. And you saw the Democrats actually shut down the government, and they came back begging. There was a time there where we offered the full military spending and an opportunity for a continuing resolution just of the non-defense discretionary spending. This would have required the Senate to do with appropriation bills, reward good behavior instead of reward bad behavior. That's where we could have been, and we could have had a result to change this process. But once again, it was leadership that failed to look at this. The way we negotiate in this institution is absolutely abominable. This is probably the worst bill I have ever voted on in my 8 years here. And we've got to get back to a better process. And it starts with understanding what our responsibility as Congress is. Passing the budget, passing the appropriation bills, dictate the power of the purse, and have to fight and slog back through it. If the House and the Senate disagree, you form a conference committee that dukes and troubles and behind closed doors works it out. We got to get back to those days, and I hope that the American people demand it.
Congressman, you mentioned there's a lot of good folks who agree with you on this and the need to get spending under control. Were you surprised that 145 Republicans in the House went along with this?
Well, I'm not, because most of these people have big military presences here, and we have so crippled our military anything was better than nothing. And that's a sad place to be put in when we're spending the American taxpayers' dollars. That's problematic. But what ends up happening is it shows you that the way we're doing things doesn't work, and it should be reformed. It needs to be reformed right away. And that means if that requires different leadership, then so be it.
So what's the message to voters coming up who sent you and others to Washington to be protectors of their tax dollars? You can obviously tell them that you weren't in favor of this, but what's the overall party message?
Well, I don't know what the overall party member and message is going to be, but the thing that I ask and implore people to be is there was a responsibility that our framers put to the general public. They wanted a well-educated public. Get roll up your sleeves, start reading this bill, and let's find out how bad this bill is. You know, we chastised Nancy Pelosi for having to pass a bill and to find out what was in it. And guess what we just did? We did the same thing. You know, a culture that actually doesn't understand its history is doomed to repeat history. And I guess we just did.
Congressman, a frustrating day, I know, for you, and looks like about almost 90 others there in the House of Representatives. We'll see what happens on the Senate side. Thank you very much for your time today.
You're welcome. Thanks, Greg.
You bet. Arizona Republican Congressman Paul Gosar represents his state's 4th Congressional District. I'm Greg Corumbus, reporting for Radio America.